I mean, really, just I feel like my path has been so much about what is my truth? Like, what lights me up? What are my values? What am I here for? Like, my truth. Who is Morgan at her essence?
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and today we have a wonderful guest who has chosen the pleasure pathway. So we're going to explore what lights her up and how that aliveness has come into her life, perhaps changed it, evolved it. We'll follow the little breadcrumb trails that is this delicious journey. Our guest today is Morgan Hamer, who is also known as the Manifesting Mentor. Morgan is a real estate investor, a business strategist, and a spiritual mentor. She helps high-achieving women embody their wealth frequency and build business that actually feels as good as they look. I love that. Morgan, my love, welcome.
Hi, Alara. Thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful connecting to you on Facebook, and we've kind of had a couple back and forths and just getting to know each other, which is always delicious. So starting off this conversation with, what is currently lighting you up, my love?
I am so lit up by the awareness that I do not have to do it all or be it all to have it all. I've really been being more intentional and more present and slowing down and really focusing on being in that frequency of receiving and really just peeling back the layers of the stories and the programming and the energy that tells me that I need to be overperforming or being some type of way in order to earn wealth, in order to feel happiness and peace and all the things that are good. So it's been such a fun path of expansion, just really paying attention to my nervous system and getting more and more aware of the wisdom of my body. What is it saying? And then honoring that. And I've had some big breakthroughs come through lately that are just like very, very beautiful, positive plot twists. And it really all has stemmed from not needing to go, 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 do, do, do. But just really becoming safe in the being that where these big breakthroughs have come from. And that lights me the F up. And also it lights me up to inspire other women as well in that same path.
Absolutely. Yes. It's this beautiful balance, isn't it? Where we have been taught that ambition is this insane productivity and this doing in order to get. And I believe very much in ambition. I love ambition. I love passion. But I feel like our society has taken ambition and turned it into this, you know, rat on the wheel, the rat race, this constant doing, this I have to do in order to be worthy. I have to do in order to get. When you were speaking, where I really felt the aliveness within you was when you spoke to the wisdom of your body. So in the context of what you're speaking to, where you don't have to be everything all the time in order to receive and be the wealth that you innately are, how has the wisdom of your body come into that play? What has your body been teaching you?
Oh, wow. The first thing that comes to mind is just, I've had like physiological issues. Like I have PCOS, I have insulin resistance, I have histamine intolerance, like all of these things that are interrelated medical conditions. I don't know the right terminology, but long story short, once I started to pay attention to like the emotions that I'm feeling, the like physiological experiences that I'm having in my body, whether I'm breaking out in hives or I'm having really bad cramps or anything like that. Like once I started to slow down and actually give attention and make space for these sensations, these feelings, even though they don't feel great, for some, like it's like a miracle. Like somehow my body is starting to heal itself just from me slowing down, honoring what it's telling me, and making space instead of just kind of like, oh, I'm going to pop a Benadryl, or, oh, I'm just going to go ignore this until it gets to a big problem and I can't sleep for 3 days because I'm so miserable. You know, like it's just like bring awareness to these symptoms has in a way reduced them. And that's just one example. But another thing that's like newer to me, as I've always been of the understanding that like our beliefs, our subconscious mind is the dictator of our reality. And I realize like it's not just the mind, it's the entire body, and it's the energies that we store. It's what like our nervous system feels safe with. And I think that was the missing piece in like the manifesting teachings and programs that I was offering, is I can teach you all the strategy, I can teach you all the subconscious reprogramming techniques, but we also need that nervous system safety factor as well, or we're not going to be able to be an energetic match to what we're calling in. And
yeah, absolutely.
Really embodying that understanding has been also rewarding in that now like presence isn't scary. Like I feel safe to slow down once again and be in that receiving mode, because I know like all of my biggest breakthroughs, all of my biggest up levels have been from that intuition, that divine guidance. It hasn't been for me. And if I'm not able to slow down and receive that, then I'm disconnected from source, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Disconnected from the exact energy that we're trying to create, right? It's interesting because when you speak of the body and, you know, as you mentioned, the limiting beliefs, neuroscience is very aware now that our cells are programmed by input. And a lot of that input is through our beliefs. So some of that programming comes epigenetics through ancestral energies and, you know, through our ancestors. And simultaneously, our belief structures literally program our cells. It literally programs our body. Which is profound information, is it not? To understand and then to watch how our body then reacts to those programs, as you've been speaking to. I wanted to speak to a correlation of you connecting to the wisdom of your body with the similar mirror of what you wrote here of build a business that actually feel as good as they look, right? Because the business has this representation of the container, the vessel of our creation. And that is what our body is as well. So there's this beautiful symbolism between your body and your business. So let's dive a little deeper, because, you know, that was all beautiful. But what did you really experience, my love? What were the things that you had to face in your body that were creating the hives? What were, you know, the scariest parts of yourself that you came into contact with?
I mean, really just, I feel like my path has been so much about what is my truth? Like what lights me up? What are my values? What am I here for? Like my truth, who is Morgan at her essence? And every day I feel like there's another opportunity to discover something. That,
like what? Like give us examples.
Okay. I'm trying to think of specifics. The most recent was I realized that embarrassment was an emotion that I don't make space for. I like embarrassment will make me like cry like on the spot. Like I cannot handle embarrassment. And I've been aware of that my whole life. And it's interesting because I've noticed I have a sister that's 21 years younger and she's the same way. And it's like, wow, that's weird, but cool, but no coincidences, right? So anyway, like making space for embarrassment to be able to give myself permission to F up and be okay and not have to like perform and be perfect and to allow my body to be comfortable in embarrassment has opened up a lot, especially as a leader. Because I had an instance where I needed to tell somebody on my real estate team that I own. I needed to tell her that she's really dropping the ball. And from the lens of, okay, before I have operated and treated others as if they can't handle embarrassment like I can't. So I've like padded things or avoided hard conversations because I am not able to feel that feeling. So I'm projecting that onto others and it's inevitably harming our relationships. It's disconnecting me from love because I'm operating in the frequency of my past programming and my resistance to embarrassment. And so I was able to bring that awareness, really tap into that feeling of embarrassment and practice experiencing it and it being okay, like cultivating that feeling in my body, remembering some of the really weird, embarrassing moments I've had throughout my life and making space for it. And it's interesting because I had that test, but then I also have had a couple like really weird, embarrassing things happen in the last couple of weeks. And it's like, okay, I'm co-creating with the universe. Like I've set this intention. I want to embody this awareness. And then I get these little mini tests that are like, okay, are you really stepping up? Are you really owning this? And I feel like I have, and it made that conversation with my employee effortless. And for me to be able to approach her with love once again and compassion instead of through the lens of, let me protect you. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing is that we believe that that is protection, right? But it's not. I mean, for one, and we've all done this, right, is where we project our insecurities onto others, just as you were saying, like, oh, I don't like embarrassment. So that must mean other people don't like embarrassment. And so I need to make situations where they don't feel embarrassed. So I protect them from those feelings. But it's not actually protection, right? I mean, it's where, like you mentioned, we're not actually sitting in our truth and allowing compassion to guide us instead of this people-pleasing, this, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset anybody, which is a very disempowered state. So what you were speaking to, where we own our own, you know, shadows and yes, allow compassion first and foremost for ourselves, right? That there are parts of us that don't want to be embarrassed, that don't want to feel awkward, right? That don't want to upset other people, that don't want to watch other people feel embarrassed, and feeling that love and compassion towards ourselves, so that when we have these conversations, that compassion is what can speak, the wisdom, the compassion can come through. And as you mentioned, the conversation is surprisingly beautiful because that is love and it actually serves the other person. So this false form of protection that we've all been taught to protect other people's emotions, not rock the boat, not trigger them, is only, it's like enabling, right? It's enabling others to remain in their shadow. It's enabling others to remain small and doesn't serve us nor anybody else. Conversely, we don't need to be dicks about it, right? And come out and be like, right? So that's where that self-work that you did really transmutes that frequency so that you are actually in the frequency of compassion when you deliver it. And that is true, you know, true leadership. And I can imagine, let's go back a little bit to the embarrassment, because it's always so important for other people to learn through our experiences. Do you know, outside of like that circumstance with that woman, how else was embarrassment really holding you back from embodying more of your power and your wealth?
Oh my gosh. I feel like my authentic self, like my truth, is to be on stage, is to put myself out there, is to be a leader and to be seen. And I was not able to show up fully as myself from that fear. I mean, it really is a huge breakthrough, a big awareness that was holding me back. I also have a great example of projecting powerlessness onto someone. I own some rental properties, and I rented a place to my best friend, and I gave her a super deep discount because she's a single mom. Like, she just barely makes ends meet, so on and so forth. And I felt like it was my pleasure to give her somewhere affordable to live. And then a year and a half later, I decided that I wanted to sell that property, and I gave her the option to sign a year lease to stick around and blah, blah, blah. And she lost her mind, like totally lost her mind. We haven't spoken in 6 months. I mean, this is my best friend in the entire world. And so from this experience, I've learned that, and it's not, there's more layers to it than this, but what I realized is that though my intentions were good, I was projecting my fear of powerlessness, my resistance to powerlessness mm-hmm. onto her. And once again, they say the path to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm not so sure about that, but to some degree, maybe there's some truth to it. I was able to, though, in that situation, I could have just pointed the finger at her and been like, this bee is crazy, you know? Like, no, I pointed the finger at myself. Like, what did I do wrong here? And yeah, I mean, she probably saved like 10 grand in rent from living with me for a year and a half. Like, and I could look at it as like, how dare she lash out at me, you know? But and I did a little, you know, of course, natural, but like, then I point the finger back at myself and what can I learn from this? And like, oh my gosh, I don't ever want to take someone from their power by me discounting her rent. I'm not giving her an opportunity to show up in her full power. And that's like so counter to what we're taught as women. We're taught to be martyrs. We're taught to be able to like give without taking and all that. And so I thought, once again, like, I didn't realize that was not fully operating in love. That was not operating, allowing her to step into her power. And I mean, that I hope that we can make amends in the future, but that's neither here nor there. This lesson that I've made, this lesson I've learned, will help me tremendously in the future to show up more authentically, to be a better leader, to empower other women not to do the same, not to make the same mistakes as me.
Oh my gosh, what a delicious story. And for the audience, I want to just point out, when you say pointing your finger back at yourself, what she's meaning is, you know, taking responsibility, which is different than applying guilt or blame. It is, I am responsible for my life and for my actions. And that's different than I'm at fault, or she's at fault, or that other person is at fault. It's ownership, which comes from that space of desiring to know ourselves more and expand. And I love so much, Morgan, this example, because as women in business, this goes into everything, doesn't it? Because the amount of times we feel like we have to discount our services for the ones that quote unquote can't afford it. And there's nothing wrong with discounts, and there's nothing wrong with low tickets, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's all about, why are we doing it? right? And so if we're doing it because we believe somebody is disempowered, that is not where we want to be. And that is not, just as you said, the thing we want to be creating for them either, right? We want to create discounts or give because we are in overflow and we really feel called from our heart to discount or to give or to have scholarships or whatever it is. It's never about the thing. You know, people can debate all along, should you discount? Should you do that? It's not about that. It's about the underlying, why are we doing this? And really being honest and truthful to ourselves. Because as you said, we've been taught to martyr. We've been taught like, oh gosh, Morgan, that was such a beautiful thing that you did for your friend. You're such a good person. You're such a good girl. And you had the power to be like, that was a mistake. And I'm learning from that. Most people would be like, what are you talking about? That was such a kind gesture. And you're like, kind? Look at the reflection it gave me. Right? Like you are so clear in your truth to be able to say, sure, it appears to be kind and good. And I was doing it from good intention, but the reflection showed me something else. And so I was present to that reflection and I received the lesson there. And, you know, that's when we learn that those offerings don't help those individuals. And as you mentioned, disempowerment, it just creates disempowerment. When we hold other people in disempowerment, we're creating, you know, that space for them to experience and exchange and relationship via us in disempowerment. So it's such an important conversation for women in business and to understand you don't have to be kind and good. You don't have to, you know, serve people from martyr and from this place that, because other people have less money, that means I can't make money, or that means I need to give away my services, or I need to lower my rates so that it covers, you know, more people can access me. No, we need to first and foremost address any of those beliefs within ourselves. Resolve those energies around money, around disempowerment, around scarcity, lack, that women aren't supposed to have money. I mean, that's a big one just in and of itself, right? And then from that space of empowerment, right, we can do what feels alive. So truly celebrating you. That was a delicious story. It had so many layers to it that we can bring here in the context of wealth and business. So thank you for that vulnerability. My love, how can people find you if women out there are working to manifest more wealth in their life, that desire that combination of energetics and strategy? How can they find you and connect to you?
You can find me at morganmanifest.com. And if you go to morganmanifest.com/free, you can access some freebies that I've created. One of which is an alignment audit, just so that you can really go through your life and your business and get a tangible assessment of where you're at, how aligned are you with your truth, like your light, your purpose, and also get some tips for how to make that even deeper to be able to really connect to your light and your truth so that you can have that abundance, that energy, that joy that comes from, once again, being true to you.
Delicious. Yes, because wealth exists. Wealth is here. And so aligning to that wealth, right, enables it to flow to us, to flow through us as the vessels of creation. So alignment offer. I love it. To the audience, make sure you check that out. Morgan, my beloved, thank you for being here. Thank you for playing the game of the pleasure pathway with me and exploring your aliveness, your authenticity, and your truth. I am deeply grateful for your presence and for your light.
Thank you, Alara.
Until next time, my loves, I always love you so very much.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.